Wow. What a time of praise and worship this morning. I'm so thankful for that. Esther, hi. It's so good to see you here. Severin, how you feeling, buddy? You feeling better? Oh, we've been praying so much for Severin. I'm so thankful he's here. Keep praying that he's able to stay healthy so the doctors can move towards either a lung transplant or removing one of his lungs. Let's keep praying for that. All of you live streaming in today, I want to welcome you here to EC Grace. Here we are, here to worship together. Do you love worshiping the Lord? Amen. This is one of my most needed tools. I love worshiping the Lord too. There we go. All right. So, what we're doing here today is we're in the Word of God. We're in Galatians. I hope that you're being stretched and moved. You know, I kid you not, preparing and looking at these fruits, God is doing even now a work in my life. I hope He's doing one in yours. I see so many areas where I still need to be yielding to the Lord. I need to be yielding to His power. Oh my. Look at my man. Hey, come up here, man. Come here. Just you. You guys see that? Come here. Come here. Come here. Give me a hug. This is my friend Daryl. He and I hadn't seen him in probably a decade. And he came to see me last week. We used to run together everywhere. We lived in the same neighborhood, and every day we played together. We went through school together. We did a lot together, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is my friend Daryl. I don't mean to embarrass you, but welcome here to EC Grace, my friend. We're going to get together. Thank you. I mean it. We did everything together. So.
First thing Aaron ever said to me was, I'm going to strike Kawasaki out. And I think I was 8 or in softball, and I had a Kawasaki shirt on.
Oh, we're 8 years old. You know, God is good. I'm thankful for Him here. I'm thankful how the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. Are you not? God is so good. How many of you, let me ask you a question, have seen in your neighborhood, have seen in communities, signs that say, just be kind? Just be kind. In fact, did you know there's a webpage out called kindness.org which has over 13 million donations to this website? People are serious. They want to see kindness. That website, it sets out to do something. It sets out this perceived lack of kindness in the world today. In fact, it states this on their website, the quote, "Kindness is the key to a better world." On the website, that's what it says. And their stated mission is this, quote, "to educate and inspire people to choose kindness." Is there anything wrong with that motive? Nothing at all. Even the world apart from Christ knows that this is needed, and they also know that it's a choice. Well, I truly am all for a kinder world. I'm for a kinder Aaron. I'm for a kinder community, a kinder church, a kinder world, a kinder workplace. And so how will this website go about accomplishing their mission to make people kinder? Here is kindness.org's answer. We will use science to unlock the power and the potential of humanity's greatest asset, kindness. But I believe God has a better plan than kindness.org. Hey, you see, kindness.org is doing something. They're trying to modify the behavior to produce kindness through science. But God's plan is to transform the person to produce kindness through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, yeah. You see, While men can put up signs encouraging people to just be kind, there's something special about us. We actually have the Spirit who can actually enable us to be kind. Wow. Praise the Lord for that. That is our subject this morning, the Spirit fruit of kindness. And my goal is simple. It's actually the same as kindness.org. I too want to challenge myself and challenge you, my brothers and sisters, and motivate us to choose kindness, right? And with that encouragement, that we actually can be kind or kinder through the enabling power of the Lord. I want that. Who wants to produce, let the Spirit produce this produce in your life? Amen. Amen. Who wants your families to have this produce in your home? Well, God wants that too. Lord, I just pray today as we're in looking at your fruit, that, Lord, we see the areas that you would have us see where you want to grow us and mold us into your image. Lord, where you want to look inside of us and you want to prune away every form of sin. For, Lord, you know the more sinless we are, the more in great relationship we are with you, the more you can use us for your glory, the more peace we feel in our life, the more joy, the more love, the more patience, the more kindness. Lord, this is good. For Lord, this is your will for us. So may we yield our hearts to you today. May we be convicted in areas of real transparency in our life so that we may be more like you and please you in everything we do. We love you, dear Jesus. We love you. We are sorry that we so fail to show it to you on so many levels. But Lord, thank you for perfectly loving us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. What is this Holy Spirit produce kindness? What we must understand, it is definitely something tangible, expressed, and experienced. It's not just something we experience inwardly. It's something that we actually feel. Kindness is that love that seeks to do something beneficial in word or deed towards others. Well, it certainly is a disposition of the heart that is being changed by the Spirit, as in all the fruit in our life. But this kindness is more than just being nice and sweet. I like nice and sweet, right? But it's more than that. Mark Twain said this of kindness. He said, kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. And in saying that, he's really not far off. Kindness in the Bible is not just a disposition of our heart, though it is, but it is something that people can actually hear, something they can actually see, something that can actually be tangibly felt or experienced from someone else. And see, this is true of all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You see, fruit is the public evidence and proof that the tree is good, that the tree is healthy. Webster defines kindness as a kind deed. When you look at the Greek and English dictionary, a lexicon, it says it means to provide something beneficial for somebody as an act of kindness. I love when they give definitions with the word that they're trying to define in the definition, don't you? I mean, I'm like, hey, I guess I find that humorous. And that is just what we see in the Word of God. Did you know in Acts 9:36, we read of Dorcas? And I know this is exactly what Gabe and Kayla are going to name their new daughter, Dorcas. Dorcas. Is Dorcas on the list? Or Tabitha. She was Tabitha, but known as Dorcas. What'd she do? She made tunics and garments for people. But I want you to hear how God chose to describe her. This woman, which was Dorcas or Tabitha, was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity. That word charity is the word love, which she continually did. Her deeds were described as kindness, which were abundant and continual. We cannot take for granted that God would insert this one small comment in his word. What happened to her? She died. And the people, they begged Peter to come to Lydda and to bring him here, because she had died and they wanted him to raise her from the dead. When Peter arrived, we're told this. They brought him, Peter, into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the garments and all the tunics that she had made, that she used to make while she was with them, and now she's gone. It's as if the people wanted Peter to know why she was so missed, almost to give some credibility to Peter that she was worthy to be raised, to show him evidence or proof of her character matching this great request they were going to give. You see, it wasn't the tunics that they wanted. They were already all around. They wanted her back because they loved her, because she loved them with abundant kindness. Look how others described her kindness in death. Look how the Lord used this small example right here, just an insert in the text, to show us kindness. She was known for these abounding deeds of kindness and love. And what happened? People loved her for it. They loved her. I have to ask myself, how would I be described if I was taken to glory? Would kindness enter into the quick thing to come to mind? Let me give you another example of kindness. Do you remember back when we were in Acts, the church on the move, back in Acts 28:2, when Paul and his company were shipwrecked at Malta? Well, and they floated on planks up to the island shore. They're freezing. They're in the cold rain. The people at Malta took them in, kindled a fire to warm them. And Paul, concerning their actions, said this: "The natives showed us extraordinary kindness. They revived us all." Paul saw immediately, and through the Holy Spirit, God wanted us to know what they did. It wasn't just kindness, it was extraordinary kindness. But just like with the demonstration of kindness, the demonstration I showed you of patience, remember who was the greatest demonstrator of patience? Everybody at the same time. God. Thank you. He is he not? I'm a recipient of it. Are you? Well, the supreme example of kindness is as well God himself. You know, and speaking of us as saved children of God in Christ Jesus, raised up with Christ, Paul is saying, and seated with him in the heavenly places with him, we're told this. Why? So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace, that's where it comes from, we don't deserve it, in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He was patient in bringing us to salvation, showing us kindness for all eternity. Paul makes this amazing statement through the Holy Spirit that we cannot miss, that it will take an unending age of all eternity itself to adequately display the exceeding riches that we are going to receive in glory, the wealth that we're going to receive, all by the very grace, the unmerited favor of God, which is described as His flowing kindness. Are you happy about God's kindness? A kindness that, just like the definition, provided something very, very beneficial. My salvation. Your salvation. Wow. Listen to Paul's words to Titus in a very remarkable description of kindness that will take all eternity for us to fully appreciate. And what I love about that twist on words, eternity never ends, so we're never going to fully appreciate it. For we also once were foolish ourselves, amen? Disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our whole life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, because I am kind to you. Isn't that beautiful? The very appearance of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this world by our Savior is described as God's most supreme act of kindness, flowing out of His love for you. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? This tells us that before you ever experienced the riches of His kindness in your salvation, it was His patience, His tolerance, His kindness that gave you those things that kept you alive, that suspended His judgment in your life as a sinner until you came to repentance, and He saves you by you yielding your life, accepting His gift, and letting Him become Lord of your life. Your very coming to a point of repentance was not by your work, was not by your aha, it was not by your own strength, it was by His kindness. Alone. God was being kind to you. He was being so kind to me before I ever knew His kindness and my salvation. When I was sinning against Him, when I had no thought of God, when my heart was ungodly and my mind was ungodly and there was no godliness in my mind to even think to credit God for any good in my life, He was being kind to me. Aren't we so grateful and so thankful to be the recipients of something so unmerited? You will notice in the verse Romans 2:4 that patience again is mentioned with kindness. You could say they're spiritual buddies in a spirit-transformed life. They're good buds. They're good friends. They work in harmony with one another. They know what each other are thinking, kind of like. You know? You like the little fruit guys? I'm trying to, you know, lighten it up for you. Here in Galatians, it is patience, then kindness. We saw last week that in 1 Corinthians 13:4, in Paul's extended practical explanation of love, love is patient, love is kind, meaning love acts kindly. Love shows kindness. We see it again. You can look at 2 Corinthians 6:6, where Paul does not want their ministry for Christ to be harmed in any way. He doesn't want the ministry of Christ through Christians and their actions to discredit Jesus. And he says this, "Give no cause for offense in anything, but in everything, as servants of God, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love." You see, in patience, displaying kindness, in the Holy Spirit, flowing from that first fruit, a genuine love for our Lord, which produces a genuine love for one another or for others. It is the coupling of patience and kindness, everyone, that makes it the supernatural fruit of the Spirit. It's what the world can't possess, and we can. So last week, what happened? We saw that the fruit of patience is love displaying itself in being long-tempered with other people, slow to anger, not getting upset, not getting angry, wrathful, resentful, hateful, or revengeful, even when you are desperately done wrong by someone. But the Holy Spirit patience is not just toleration of others. It isn't just putting up with others. It is combined with an action of kindness towards them, a kindness that is compassionate and loving. It's seeking to do them good. It's seeking to do them something beneficial, just as God has been so patient and kind towards us to our own benefit. We want to display that towards others, even when you are grossly being done wrong. This God-like kindness, and that's what it is. This Spirit-empowered kindness, let's not forget where it comes from, goes far beyond, and far deeper, and far greater than any of the depths of the world's kindness. Here is where the world's kindness completely crumbles and falls apart. Apart from the strength and power of the Spirit, here is where even kindness in the believer comes to a screeching halt and crash. We must ask ourselves, okay, I want to be kind. I want to receive kindness. But isn't there a limit to it? To what degree, Lord, am I to show this fruit towards someone? Well, let's just let him tell us. God himself, Jesus, Luke 6:35, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." You see, there's my little hot red pepper. I mean, fruit's even supposed to be kind to the vegetables. Come on. I mean, little children know from an early age vegetables are their enemies. Especially the enemies that make you cry, that hurt you. In all seriousness, though, as funny as the illustration could be, truth in comedy, all these outward actions of loving even your enemies and even doing them good, lending and expecting nothing in return, even if evil is done to us by evil people, are described as kind in reference to the actions of kind God. the Most High God who himself is kind. And this God-like kindness was manifestly exhibited, demonstrated, and incarnated in Jesus Christ himself, who treated people with such kindness, seeking in his love and seeking in his compassion for them to help them in their need. And he knew their ultimate need was that he was going to ultimately show the greatest act of kindness by going to the cross on their behalf. When Jesus looked upon the multitudes, remember the Bible says in Matthew 9:36, he felt compassion for them. Ultimately, who were they harming if not him? Notice, you never read where he felt disgust for them. Notice, it wasn't toleration. Notice, it wasn't indifference to them. It says, Jesus saw the people as distressed and dispirited. The word for, he saw them truly, though they may not have seen it, he saw them truly for who they were. The word means he saw them truly as cast down. And he looked upon them with compassion. He came from heaven to this earth out of the kindness of his heart to do those very people good. You see, the spirit fruit of kindness is God's love. It's Christ-like love in action towards someone else. And when we show this kindness, when we have this willingness in us and this compassion to do something beneficial for others that will help them or bless them without any thought of reward in return, we, right here, stated by Jesus Christ, are demonstrating that what? What are you demonstrating? That you're a son or daughter of the Most High. Didn't we see that earlier on in Galatians? That we are now no longer slaves to the law. We are now free sons of God. Amen. And God wants you to be seen as his child, his true child, representing him. And he goes, man, when you act kind, when you show me to others and treat them the way I've treated them, you will be known as my son, as my daughter. I love that. In an article on China in a magazine called Eternity Magazine, the writer records a story of Christian love and Christian kindness. It's wintertime there. Christianity's persecuted there. He talks about a Chinese Christian who is a cook who was put into prison on a very bitterly cold night somewhere around minus 26 below zero. He had on his padded clothes. He had on his big mitts. He had on his fur coat. Later that night, another man was thrown into his cell with him who seemed very unhealthy, and he had little in the way of any clothing. Well, as the Christian man began to pray that God would get him out of prison, he began to feel conviction deep within him, which was the moving of the Holy Spirit. As he sat there in his fur coat, he looked across this cell and he saw this lost man with no clothing. And he began to do what we do. He began to reason in his head. Well, if he doesn't get warm, he's going to die. But if I give him my coat, I could die too. And he says, but he said, I've got a better chance. He is going to die. So he took off his coat and he got up and went over and he placed it around this very sick man. Well, the Lord did bless and he did get out of prison within a few days. A few years had gone by. And unknowingly of what happened to this man, if he ever got out of prison or if he died, he's here in communist China, and he went and he attended an underground Christian gathering, and he wrote this. I was present when the heathen man who had received the coat got up and gave this testimony. I am here today because a man shared his coat with me in prison, and to the praise of God, it was the very man he gave his coat to who came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. True story. People are hurting today. Many of you in here right now today are hurting. There's some of you here today that you may look at me, I may look at you, and you have no idea that either maybe in me or maybe in you, there's a breaking heart where their most desperate need is some small acts of loving kindness. Winning souls to Christ is not just about doctrine, but sometimes whether we are prepared to share our coat with someone. People are so hurting. It's rampant. The suicide rate is off the chart. Even in Christian communities and homes, we are hearing of this. And the very fact that you show Christian love and kindness, the same kindness God has shown you, can make all the difference in the world for someone. You know, Dr. William McGrath of the American Psychiatric Association, who does not claim to know Christ Association, he said this, quote, 99% of all mental illness that comes before me could have been prevented or could yet be cured by simple kindness. Well, 99%, really, doctor? I mean, even if that is an overstatement, it at least shows how important even the world, as well as God, considers kindness to be, does it not? The very thing we're doing right now, that you gave out of your own money, knowing it's God's money, who provided out of his kindness for you, to be the agent the Lord would use. Wow, in giving. You know, think of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. Think of the kindness they're going to receive. You see, someday, maybe in eternity, maybe the very agent that kindness is that the Lord uses to save a soul through our kindness because of his kindness towards us. It may be the very encouragement a brother or sister over there needs for them to carry on with the Lord's purpose in their life, an act of kindness. Influencing people towards Jesus, we know this, is so much more effective when we start acting like Jesus Christ, who exhibited God's kindness in dealing with people. Showing God's kindness and treating people as God sees them. Precious, precious souls for whom he died. Wow, I want to be that. Salvation should radically transform how we see others. And therefore, is it not to reason that it should radically transform how we treat others? In fact, if we are not kind people, we're not really worthy to be called Christians. John Dreschner notes that in his discussion of this word kindness, that because there was just one letter between the Greek words of kindness and Christian, Christos, Christos. He says this, little wonder that the early pagans got the Christians confused with kindness, as they should then and as they should today. Amen. If you're going to confuse me with anything, confuse me with kindness. Wow. Wouldn't it be something if the world always got us who claim to be Christians confused with kindness? Whoa. Do you think that's how Christianity is always looked at? No. This kindness is shown not only in our deeds, but oh boy, let me get a drink on this one. But in our words. Man, you remember last week I talked to you about that professor says, man, I'm going to talk about why God doesn't exist, and if he doesn't exist in 5 minutes, he can strike me dead. And he said, hey, God's not alive because in 5 minutes, I'm still alive. And the man said, hey, do you think you can exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes? Well, let me tell you something. I'm not even going to make a joke by saying, hey, every word out of my mouth is kind. Kaboom! God will say, oh, are you kidding me? How many people here today, every word out of your mouth has been one of beautiful kindness? Well, the words we speak. It's in our words. You see, kindness is seen that flows from the heart as an attitude of compassion, an attitude of tenderness. And it's not just in our deeds and how we treat, but it's in our words and how we speak. Being aware of something very important, of how they feel, whether how they feel is true or not, as well as being prepared to help where needed. Do you empathize with your brother, with your sister, with the lost person on the street? Does your heart truly have compassion like God sees, that no matter what is said to you or done to you, you can respond with truth in love, but with kindness? Is kindness, is it truly a big deal to God, or is it just something he wants us to have? Yes, it is something he wants us to have, but how big a deal is it to him? What level would you put it at? Let's see how big a deal it is. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and then walk humbly before your God. Couldn't there have been all other kinds of things he could have chosen to describe what's so important to him? Remember Hosea, Wisdom for Our Age, and I said in Hosea, hey, don't think Hosea is some old-time book. It's just as practical today with the same wisdom we need today. And in our study of Hosea, we saw that even in his times are eerily parallel to America today and the world today, just before God's judgment fell on them. Remember, for them it was a time of peace, a time of prosperity, but it was also a time of very high perversity. And also, like Israel of Hosea's today, America professes to believe in the God of the Bible, yet we have strayed so far from him. We have no life-changing knowledge of him as a nation. And as a nation, we have forgotten his laws, and we are tolerating any and all gods and idols that are taking the place of the Most High God. And we are falling into some of the most horrific, immoral depravity that is flaunted and praised by man. And Hosea 4, 2 through 3 says this, that the cities and towns of Hosea's day were filled with swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery, violence, and bloodshed. And the Bible tells us there, therefore the land mourned and everyone who lived in it languished. Could there be a more accurate description of what we are seeing today in our nation, in our land, in our children, in our friends, in our community, in our schools. God gave them and us three reasons why his judgment fell. He says, "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land." They were unfaithful to him. They had no kindness towards others because they had no knowledge of God. When we have a knowledge of Almighty God and knowledge of Jesus, I don't mean a head knowledge and experiential knowledge, we must be compelled to allow the Holy Spirit to have us be kind. This word kindness here used in Hosea has the same meaning of consistently doing good for another based on a prior commitment to love. Did you hear that? Consistently doing good to another based on a prior commitment to love. See, that commitment through the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we make, remember we said be committed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and therefore love one another or love your neighbor as yourself. So when you are being kind to another, it flows from that commitment we have to do good and be kind towards others because we have a right understanding of God's love for me. Wow. It is the same word used of God's loving kindness in his covenant with Israel and his covenant with the church. In a community, one person can show this kindness to another by being compassionate like God, seeking to meet the needs of others, even if that person is a stranger. The same kindness as the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, are the same words. Isn't that beautiful? So as I close today, let me give you two areas where to start. And you're going to hear this a lot in the fruits. Pray for kindness. Don't underestimate the massive need and power of prayer in our life. David prayed in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Maybe this week you can say, "And through that cleanness, create in me a kind heart, O God." It is so normal to pray for our temporal needs. And don't get me wrong, those are important. Bring all your prayers and petitions before the Lord with thanksgiving. But are you praying big for your most important needs, your spiritual needs, as God conforms you to look like him? Are you desperately praying as much for your kindness, your compassion, your love, your patience, your faithfulness, your relationship with God as you are for any temporal need? It's so easy for us to become callous. It's so easy for us to become hard-hearted, even in the smallest ways. To walk by people and not even know they're there. To be harmed by somebody and to be done with them. To be harmed by somebody and not love them with tough love, to tell them the truth in love, but to spurn them, to abuse, and to fight back, and to retaliate. What am I praying for? For God to change in me. It's so easy to speak words that are unkind. I'm telling you, man, many of us are more proficient at it than we know. It's so easy for us to be critical of one another, sarcastic to one another, and judgmental of one another. And remember, this word judgmental is to judge with planks in our eyes in a pharisaical way. It doesn't mean to not judge the truth of sin and then want to help a brother or sister take that out. Genuine kindness is not produced by science. It's demonstrated and produced by God. The Holy Spirit. You see, if kindness is lacking in you and you know you want to demonstrate more kindness. The God would want that, and you know that's needed in your life. If you know it's needed in your home or at your work, I promise you that God wants to answer that heartfelt prayer to be kind, and he will give you the strength. It's ours in abundance. And finally, I want you to not just pray for it. Practice kindness. Well, wait a minute. You're just telling me to do it? Uh-huh. Zechariah 7:9, practice kindness. Colossians 3:12, as you got to know who you are. You got to know your identity. As chosen of God, holy and beloved, meaning beloved by him, loved by him, you must put on a heart of kindness. When you get out of bed in the morning, what you got on? If it's just your birthday suit, no big deal. But don't get up and put no clothes on first. Put on a heart of kindness. Put on a heart of kindness. Start basically by looking at your Savior, giving him glory. Go to him in prayer and pray for his fruit, and your day will be fruitful. Right? Be somebody who makes everybody feel like somebody. Because they are to God. Every person matters to God. Smile at people. I've heard some of you say, just by giving a smile, how that impacts people. Have you just been out and about in the world and you just stopped to smile at somebody? When a smile towards somebody is so recognizable in our culture today, you've got a lot of power. Smile. Some of you right here look like hell is all over your backside. I mean, if God looked at your face in kindness, he would think you aren't kind. Kind of like the child who will obey like this. You all know who you are. I'm looking at you. And you're not being kind to me. Kindness is in our body language. It's on our faces. It's in our smiles. It's in the tenderness of our eyes. It's in our actions. It's in our words. Be somebody who makes everybody feel like somebody. When you're at that cashier line, show patience. What's going on in that person today? You don't know, but that small act of kindness may be all that cashier needs. When you're cashing out, when you're walking out of Walmart, take a moment and talk to that elderly person there who just has to work and they just need kindness. What's their name tag say? And call them by their name. Let that person in the car get in front of you. It's okay. You're not a police officer chasing down criminals, doing a move. Look for ways to lend a helping hand. And imagine this in your home. I want this for me. Did you know something as we close, that there's a study at the University of Berkeley, no doubt, found that 50% of people feel more energetic and stronger after they help others. That kindness towards others actually medically reduce stress and anxiety and inflammation. As helping others releases endorphins called dopamine, serotonin, that they called the helper's high. Well, I'm sorry. That's actually how God created us. That's what the body does when his fruit flows through us. Listen to what the secular world, who does not recognize this creator, who lets his dopamine go through you and makes you feel so good when you're kind to somebody, listen to what they even recognize and know about kindness. Esther Perel, she's a secular marriage counselor, and in an interview, she commented on all the marriages that come before her. And she said how prevalent it was that marriage partners treat total strangers with more kindness than they treat one another. How, in all her counseling, how they speak words that hurt and harm. And she said words and actions that they would never say to their boss because they know that they would get fired. She said marriage killers that I see all the time, like indifference and neglect, and how a spouse feels because of kindness, those things no longer matter. She said, people, she said, want to feel that they matter to you, that you care about them, that you want good for me, and that you are benevolent. The world knows this, and God says you have it in abundance to give that towards others. My grandma, I know she's in heaven. When I was the most kind brother, Amy's right over there, she'll testify that I only show her love. We'd be, blah, 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 me and my brother, my grandma would be visiting. Boys, come in here. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Okay, grandma. Be ye kind. Be ye kind. Wow. She would tell me that all the time. Little did I know the magnitude and the importance of that truth. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you. Do we need to pray and practice kindness? You see, we must understand something. When we see what God's done for us, God expects us to pay it forward, to be Him to a lost and dying world, to be a church who actually edifies the saints. I want to do that. Do you want to do that?
Amen.
Be that person in your neighborhood. And when that person in your neighborhood who put up the Just Be Kind sign in their yard, can they look at you and say, well, there is at least one person I know who's truly kind. In fact, I bet they're a Christian. So let me ask you something as we close. If somebody were to go to the dictionary to look up kindness, would your spouse put your picture there? What'd she say? Oh, I know the answer to that. That's Aaron. I know the answer to that. That's my wife. Would your coworkers put your picture there, your children, your neighbor? Let those questions this week be some Holy Spirit fruit for thought. No food for thought, fruit for thought from God. Fruit from thought. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Through your love for God and love for others, through the joy of your salvation, experiencing the peace with God and now experiencing the peace of God, demonstrating His patience towards others that He's demonstrated towards you. Be kind as He is perfectly kind, and watch God bless you in your life. And as we do this, as the praise team comes up, because of Him and through Him, can we not say this very yes to this rhetorical question? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Oh, isn't the love of Jesus wonderful? Let's take that love and let's show that love. Let's demonstrate it to one another and to a lost world.